Ready to be empowered? Yes. See, here we are. If you anybody checked the mirror this morning? How do you look? Good. See, here's what I want to teach you this morning. You know when you look in the mirror, what you're supposed to see back? The reflection of God. That's right. Yeah, better, exactly. See, if you already want to improve, right, you look in the mirror, you see Jesus, right? You see God's love, you see power, you see everything you need, and you see a reflection back of who you really are. Everything that's good, everything that's powerful, everything that can heal, restore, and just think about who you are in Christ, right? We are all little Christ, aren't we? Yes. Only when we mirror Christ, right? Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'm not always Christ. I'm Joyce. So I have to look back in the mirror and remind myself, wait a minute, this is who I really am. This is who I want to be, right? You know, in the scriptures it speaks of, I'm going to get to the actual scriptures I'm going to preach from this morning, but in the scriptures, God speaks about in the book of Malachi about taking silver and melting it down and taking out all the impurities. And that's how silver is actually made. I don't know if you know that, but it starts out with all kinds of minerals in it, copper, tin, you know, things that aren't worth much. And they have to melt it down. There's actually the highest temperature I've read about in the past was about 660 degrees. That's how hot it gets in a furnace in order to melt those properties. And all the impurities, all the yuck goes out. It turns into black smoke. And you know what's left? And you know how the silversmith knows that the silver's ready to go to market? He sees his reflection in it. That's how they test it. So if God's testing you from time to time, anybody feel like you're in a furnace from time to time? Woo, man, it gets hot in there, doesn't it, right? It gets pretty warm when we go through fiery trials, as Peter talks about. But see, Peter talks about those fiery trials. They build character. It gets rid of the impurities. And it makes us, as we rely on God more and more, and we rely on the Holy Spirit to change us and move in us and allow God to get those impurities, that humanness out of us, all those things that make us who we are. And some of it is not good, is it? Some of our past history, some of the traumas, some of the hurts we have, some of the stuff we've done, it's still sometimes residing inside of us, isn't it? And so God has to burn it off. It's called the dross, D-R-O-S-S, dross. You burn off the dross, the stuff that doesn't belong in your life anymore. Gets burned off. But it takes heat to do it. You know, if you ever really want, you know, how do you make tea? You got to put the tea bag in the hot water, don't you? Otherwise, it's just a bunch of leaves. You see all the example God gives us in physical nature to show us that we as Christians, we have to go through some fiery trials. We just do. Sometimes it's really to get rid of some stuff, but it's also to purify us, and it's also to make us more like Christ because we know he suffered, right? He suffered watching people hurt. He suffered watching people walk away from him. He suffered watching rejection. He was nearly stoned. The religious leaders wouldn't accept him. Everything he taught, they just got in his face about and tried to correct him and tried to just get in his, just constantly trying to stop him from his work. Did that stop him? Is it going to stop us? No, it ain't, baby, because that's where we reflect Christ. Well, you know, the thing about we as Christians, I believe, at least in this church, we are resilient people. We are not going to, even though we get knocked down, we're going to get right back up again. Even though we're got pressed on every side from all kinds of things going on around us, some of which is in our own head, some of it's our own imagination, to be, you know, right? The things we think are going to be bad that are going to happen to us, we already envision them, and we scare ourselves when in the present moment. Right? So that crushes our spirit sometimes, right? But we are not ever defeated, ever. We have victory in Jesus Christ. We always have victory. And God's going to have the final say. He will. He does in all of our lives. Victory is coming. When is it coming? I don't know. Sorry, I don't have my tea leaves. So speaking of tea leaves. But the key is, in the meantime, how you behave, how you act, what you do in those fiery trials is an example to others, isn't it? And it's also, the more you can endure it, if that's the right word, and say, okay, God, I know why this is happening. It's so that I can become more like you. And becoming more like you makes me a better person, someone who can help others, someone who can love like you do, God, someone who could show that no matter what, we're going to love others and care for others and do the things necessary as human beings to proclaim good news that there's a saving power in God, saving power, and that no matter what enemy comes against us, we will never be defeated. See, the problem with Satan is he doesn't know he lost the ball game. He's still at it. He's got his minions. He's doing his thing. He's trying to think, make us think. See, he can work in our mind, right? Right? That's the only place Satan can get is up in here in our thought life, if you let him. But it's okay to evict him. It's okay to expel him. It's okay to say, get out of here, Satan. You have no power here. I, by the authority of Jesus Christ in me, I tell you to leave. Flee and get on going. Because guess what? We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep on loving. We're going to keep on serving. We're going to keep on putting out a message of hope. No matter what is out there that's trying to tell us otherwise, the lies and the things of that nature, Satan is a liar. We know that. Don't believe his lies about you or about anybody else. He wants to make us think that we're all these puny little people that have no power. Wait a minute here. The same God who rose Jesus from the dead lives in me and you. The same God that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me and you. The same God that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me and in you. Use that power. Use it. Or you lose it. Fear can have power too. Fear is nothing but a lie. It's all it is. It's false evidence appearing real. It's false. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And Jesus, you know, when Jesus sent Satan back to hell, it's warm there. A lot warmer than even in here. That's why his pants are on fire. So here's the thing. We have to believe the truth, don't we? We have to believe the truth. God is all powerful, all knowing, and God is all loving. God is everywhere all the time, loving everybody. And God will change things. Some of the things we can't change. See, sometimes we don't have the power to change others, do we? I'd like to think I could. If I can put my magic wand on somebody. Boop, ba, boop, ba, 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 bing, bong, boom, ba, ba, boom, 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 boo, presto, change-o. See, the problem with that is I'm not a savior. Jesus is. Get it right. Now, I can tell you about my savior. I can introduce you to him. If you allow him to, if you just sit still while the fire happens inside of you, God gets rid of the stuff, right? It's God that's doing it, right? If you just sit still and allow God to do that, let God's presence move in you and through you, you'll change. How do I know that? Because I've changed. I'm not the same person I was several years ago. Thank the Lord for that. And I'm still changing, right? Because we grow more and more into the likeness of Christ. I am not there yet, just like Paul said. I am not there yet. But one thing I know, I got a goal of that. That's my goal. Looking at Jesus as my example. So everybody wants to talk about God. God said this, God said that. Look at what Jesus did. You'll see what God's like. Exactly, live it. Be it, right? So guess who has to be it? Yes, you do. And those that are seeing this, hello, you too. You're hearing this. You're seeing this. We have to be God on earth today, don't we? All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, where the scriptures come from to teach us that and tell us that this morning. Just a couple of lines here from Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, follow God's example in everything you do. Follow God's example in some of the things you do. Once in a while, some of the things you do. Maybe this one and that one and the other one I want to do. When it's comfortable to do it, when it feels good to do it, when they deserve me to do it for them, when are we supposed to follow God's example? In everything we do. Now, doing can also be saying, right? Speak life. Speak life. Speak hope. Speak forgiveness. Speak power into people's lives. Speak joy. Speak good. Whatever's pure, whatever's lovely. Speak of those things. I'll jump into another scripture. Oh, well, look how the Spirit moves. Follow God's example in everything you do because you are His dear children. You know, it's Father's Day, and I can think about my dad today who's in heaven. My dad was a truck driver. My dad was a mechanic. My dad was a yeller. My dad was critical. My dad was judgmental. My dad was offensive. My dad was a human. Until he found Jesus, he became more like Christ. My dad changed once God got a hold of him. We learn things, right? We role model others, don't we? And some of our examples in our life are not always the best, are they? Guess who has to be the best example? You have to be the best example, not me. I'm preaching here. I'm teaching here. We're all supposed to be good examples, right? Which father are we supposed to be the example of? Our Heavenly Father, God, right? We're His dear children. Dear children, that's a sweet way of looking at us. We're dear to God. Isn't that awesome to know? Even though you're not quite like God all the time, right? But if you copy what God does, what are the things that we think about when we think about Jesus, God's Son, right, came to earth to be an example. You want to be like God? Be like Jesus. Speak like Jesus. Pray like Jesus. Serve like Jesus. Sacrifice like Jesus. Help like Jesus. Forgive like Jesus. What could be easier? You're growing. That's our goal, right? To be, when you look in the mirror, you know, sometimes we have to look and go, what the heck did I put on here? Sometimes we do that with our belief systems, our thought systems about ourselves. We wear things that don't belong to us, and they're other people's beliefs or other people's ideas or other people's thoughts. We need to take those off, don't we? And put on the garment of righteousness, of what Christ is about, right? When we wear that and you look in the mirror and you see that you want to believe in the things that God believes in and Christ believed in, then that helps you, doesn't it? To look in the mirror and say, oh, I kind of resemble Jesus. My beard's coming in. Oh, no. See, I'm not talking about his physical appearance. Because really, Jesus wasn't very attractive. The Bible tells us that. There was nothing in him that would draw us to him, nothing attractive about him. He was not a good-looking guy. I'm sorry, he just wasn't. The Bible says so. I'm sorry. But what attracts us to him? Does the outside appearance attract us to people? It's the inside that matters, right? I wish I could flip some of you inside out from time to time. What would I see? A nice big heart, right? Right? Once God's got all the yuck out, right? It's his character that I'm speaking of. Character. What you think and feel and do all the time, regardless. Mirror that. Show that to the others, because people then can want to role model that, right? You set the example. See, that's the whole thing about this whole Christian stuff that we're fighting against right now. Being called a Christian is not always a great thing these days, because there's a lot of not such good examples of Christians, because they're not like anything like Christ. Not a thing. But we don't care about them, do we? We'll pray for them. What do we have to worry? See, who's hearing the sermon this morning, church? I guess you have to be the ones to be like Christ. Because if we show Christ to the world, whatever our world is, wherever it is, that's going to help maybe change the people's thoughts about who Christ is, right? So it says here, follow God's example in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others. Whoa. Is that what we're supposed to do? Is that not what God is about? A life of love. Love, love, love. Many years ago, I actually did a 40-day Lent one time, and I said, we're going to do 40 days of love. And there was a young boy that was coming to our church at the time, and his parents were driving in the car, and they were yelling at the people in front of them as they were driving, because, you know, they had that kind of issue going on in their life, you know, kind of a thing, and nobody else here has that. But needless to say, they did. And he goes, 40, love, 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 40 days of love. I think they let him out at the next stop. They didn't really want to hear him saying that to them the rest of the drive. But what if we lived a life of love? What if life was our goal? A love was our goal for our life. Loving others. What if that was our purpose? Would that not change whatever we can change in our, you know, what area that God's placed us? Would that not change some things? Of course, it'll change some minds, right, and some hearts. Yes. So we have to be committed to that, though. We have to make that our goal. To become the image and likeness of God, God's character of love, because God is love. Period, end of sentence, boomo. Take the whole Bible and put it all in one sentence. God is love. And if we don't love others, don't have God within us. The Bible says that too. So which is it going to be? Human me or God, Christ me? Christ be in me, right? He is in there. And he's so wanting to get out and do things with you, for you, right? To help have you live a life of love. Wow. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. He not only loved, he loved to the point of sacrifice. Uh-oh, I'm going to lose some of the crowd here, I can just tell. You mean I have to sacrifice myself? You mean if there's a piece of cake, I have to share it? But it's my favorite. I'll cut you a sliver. And they say, oh, can I have that whole thing? How long does it take us? I don't know about you, but sometimes, like, God will tell me to do something, and I'll go, okay, here you go. I did that. God goes, that's not what I asked for. I did part of that. I did what I could, God. You know me, God. I'm struggling, God. You know, I'm only human, God. Sometimes God to me is like a nag. You get that nagging feeling inside. Do it, do it, do it. Just give him the piece of cake. So like you get brave all of a sudden. You go, okay, here, take it. I can do without. It's okay. Don't worry about me. Well, that's just that's such a simple thing to give away, though, isn't it? Really? You know? So often we can, like, give money, like, you know, those of us that have it and have a gift of generosity. That's not that hard to do. But you have to remember how hard you had to work to get that money. Maybe it could be a sacrifice. Maybe God's saying, don't give me 10%. I want 100% this week. What? What? Because but I need it for me, God. You see my checking account. You see the bills. You see what? See, when we come from that space of there, that's all we have to give, it's as though that's all we have to give. That means there's no more coming, right? See how that belief gets in there sometimes? See, God will supply the need, all of your needs, according to his riches and glory. If you seek the kingdom of God first, everything will be. You see how the scriptures come to mind? Huh? So anyway, point being this. God wants us to sacrifice our time, our money, our talents, our gifts, whatever they may be. Our self-confidence, our self-taking care of myself only, our selfishness from time to time, right? All of us struggle with that, don't we? Because we're works in progress. But not us. Not after today. Because we're being changed like that today. Right, church? Yeah. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like a sweet perfume to him. Wow. You want to love God the way God loves you? Sacrifice yourself. Give to others. Serve God. Love others. Love the unlovable. Love everybody and anybody, right? So we're going to follow God's example in everything we do, right, church? Right, church? Yes, everything, right? Everything, everything, everything? Let's finish with Philippians 2, shall we? And then you guys can figure out whether or not you want to commit. See, I never promised God something I'm not going to do. I used to. I used to say, God, I'll do anything for you. I made a mistake saying that. Because one of those anythings I did not want to do and I wasn't going to do and I still haven't done it. And I ain't never going to do it. But when the day comes that God really wants that done, when I'm committed 100%, 100%, because I'm like at about a 92-ish, 3-ish sometimes. Every time, once in a while, it used to be at 80% because I believe in the 80-20 rule. I mean, the 80-20 rules go, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of people make 80% of the work. I mean, I know the 80-20 rule, right? It exists, right? And mathematics exists in the world, doesn't it? So why doesn't it exist to me? I'm good with that, right, God? I think Jesus once said, become perfect as your Father is perfect. And he was speaking of forgiving everyone. Everyone. That's where some of it, I don't know where your growth is going to come. All I do know is if you make 100% commitment, really, to be like Christ, if that's your target, are you going to get to 100%? Some days you will. More and more you will. You will. You will. Because we become what we go after, don't we? Right? See, here's the thing. We can all change and not be who we were before, can't we? Yes? Of course we can. So just because I used to be a certain way doesn't mean I have to stay that way, does it? I am not a tree. I can move forward in life. I can change and grow. So can you. God is not going to give up on you. Ever. Philippians 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together with the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and one purpose. That's what a church is. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. What? Oh. Don't think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Next verse, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. Wow. Jesus did a lot, didn't he? A personal sacrifice for who? Us all. So now he says, mirror that. Now, we're not necessarily going to die on a cross, but we need to die to self. And we also are willing to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others. That's what makes this church so special. It really does. Because it isn't just what we say, it's what we. And when I look at you, I see mirrors of Christ all the time. I do. I see the reflection of Christ all the time, whether it's planting flowers in the yard, watching butterflies, making sure you take care of them, feeding the birds, serving food, cleaning the church, calling someone on the phone and seeing how they are, praying for somebody, giving up your time and energy to practice and sing songs to others. There's so many ways in which you show the love of Christ. You do. And we're going to do more, aren't we? Because God's getting rid of more and more of some of the things that hold us back and bind us, especially our thought life. So tomorrow morning when you look in the mirror, what are you going to see? And so you're going to look there and you say, okay, I see Jesus reflecting back from me. Wherever I go, that's who I want people to see. So from this point on, you and God have to have a conversation. I've done my part. It's between you and God now for you to decide what your commitment level is going to be, what your target's going to be, what your example and who your example is going to be. My prayer is, you want to be just like Jesus. Chip off the old block. Can the world use more people that are like Christ? Whew. I guess the world's got us. You're going to see lots of great works here, aren't we? Yes, 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 yes. See, while I'm speaking, God's changing you, touching you, moving inside of your heart and your soul, causing you to want to be committed to following Christ in some of the things you do. Everything you do. Amen.